Good afternoon, KCTA listeners. This is Gracie here, and I'm the program director at KCTA. And I'm here with Diana Booth, and she is a CASA representative?
Yes, I'm the CASA outreach director.
Okay, the CASA director. So, hello, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
So, Diana, tell me a little bit more about CASA. What is CASA?
Well, CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and it is a volunteer-based organization. The volunteers work with the children that are in the foster care system. CASA volunteers, they get to know the child. They speak to everybody that is involved in the child's life, including family members, teachers, doctors, lawyers, social workers, and a whole lot of others. They get information, they gather this information, and they go before the judge to make a recommendation on what should happen with the child.
Okay, so you work directly in the court system for these children.
Directly in the court system, yes.
Okay, wow. So what do you see happening here in Corpus? Is it just Corpus Christi, or is it more?
We work with actually three counties. We have Nueces, San Pat, and Aransas counties.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of, it's just amazing at what we see going on here in our neighborhoods. We just in Nueces County alone, we had 471 children that are actually in foster care. San Pat, we have 165. Aransas, 105. So that's 741 children that are in the foster care system. And what that means is that when CPS went to conduct an investigation because someone reported them for abuse and neglect, they found that there was abuse and neglect going on, and it was severe enough that the children actually had to be removed from home. Now, CPS does try to work with the families by providing them a family plan, but these kids that were removed, it's because no one stood up to protect them. Not mom, not dad, not the aunts, not the uncles. No one believed that the abuse was going on, even if CPS sat there and showed them. We conducted a full-blown investigation. We know that there's, you know, abuse going on. There's markings. There's been interviews with the children, and it's been determined that there is abuse, yet no one stepped up to protect them. And so out of those investigations, 741 kids were literally removed from their home and placed into foster care.
So when you look at that number, that's like three elementary schools full
of
kids.
It is. I mean, just think about the classrooms full of children. It's just so many children that are in foster care right now. And our system is obviously, you know, it's broken. It's unfortunate, but it's broken. It's there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. Our poor CPS caseworkers, when they're assigned to a case, that's not the only case they work on. They have about 40 to 50 cases that they have to take care of.
So per employee?
Yes, per caseworker.
Wow.
And so if you multiply that by, you know, four children, they've got a big caseload that they have to work with. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers, they only work with one case. So they really get to know the family members and the teachers and everybody that is involved in their lives.
So, I mean, what kind of things do you see happening here? I mean, what do you see going on with these
kids?
We
see that there's a lot of drug abuse, a lot of, you know, alcohol abuse. So a lot of times these children are removed because of neglect. Parents are so high or they're drunk, so they're not able to take care of their children. And so the children get neglected. And what that means is that if there are strangers coming into the home, or they're having loud parties or parties every single night, then these children fall into danger because there's other individuals that could potentially abuse the children. So mom and dad are not protecting their children. And a lot of the times we see these children missing days and days and days of school, that the teachers have to literally report that. And also We have cases in which the kids have not bathed for weeks or have lice. And it's not even lice to where the teacher has to go in there and look at the head or search through the hair to see if there's lice. Some of these lice are just falling from their hair. And that's what happens is these children get reported in for neglect. And then, of course, after that, we find out that there's other types of abuse, physical or sexual abuse even.
So about how long from the time of the start of an investigation does it take to get these kids out of these homes?
Well, usually when the investigation takes place, what happens is if they find that there's abuse and neglect so severe that the children are in danger, they remove the children from their home and they put them into foster care immediately.
Okay.
And then 14 days later from the day of the removal, the parents get to go before the judge, and CPS also gets to go before the judge. And so the CPS will tell the judge exactly what they found, why they removed the children, and they build a case. The parents come in also, and they're able to tell their side of the story as to what was happening. Right there and then, the judge will determine, yes, these children need to remain in foster care. Mom and dad need to get it together. They need to go through family counseling. They need to go through parenting classes. They need to go to anger management, AA, or a list of a family plan that they have to work through in order to get their children back. And that's usually when a CASA volunteer steps in around that 14th day so that they can also get appointed to the case by the judge to oversee the children that are going to remain in foster care for probably, we would hope, no more than a year. Sometimes it could be a little longer than that.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yes, it is.
So you have one CASA volunteer per child.
Yeah, that's one correct. CASA volunteer per family or per sibling group or per child.
Okay, so obviously that means, I mean, as of last year, you need probably upwards of 800 volunteers to,
Yeah, we are in need of volunteers so desperately. We are going to start making a plea to the community because we can only serve about half of the children that are in foster care. So the other half do not have that extra set of eyes and ears overseeing them, looking out for their best interest. Whereas the kids that we work for are volunteers. I mean, they really work hard at gathering information to make sure that the children's best interests are being looked at, that they have the resources that they need, that they're not being overlooked by all the paperwork and the chaos that's happening in that family.
So these kids, I'm sure, are very grateful for their volunteers.
Extremely grateful. They love their CASA volunteers. And what's most important about the volunteer is that they remain consistent in the case. So when children are moved from foster home to foster home or from school to school, they keep that same CASA volunteer on the case. They don't change caseworkers. They don't change the teachers or anything like that. So these children, they get to rely on their CASA volunteer. They get to see their face over and over again, even when they change foster homes. And a lot of the times what we hear from the children, what they tell the CASA volunteer is like, oh, wow, Miss Diane, you're still here? And of course, we tell them, yes, and we're going to be here, or I'm going to be here until this case is over and we figure out what's going to happen with you.
So it sounds like you're almost their guardian angels.
You know, our volunteers are our guardian angels. They are superheroes. They really are. They devote their time, their energy, and they put that energy into, like I mentioned before, a system that is broken and that they have to navigate through all of these different resources for parents, especially when parents, you know, if they snap and say, oh my gosh, what has happened? What have we done? We have a few parents like that, which is really great. And they really want to try and get their kids back. But finding the resources, finding maybe a place to live that's stable, getting a job sometimes they have to get jobs, you know, at minimum wage. And then they have to go to parenting classes and anger management classes. And if they don't have a vehicle, it even makes it, you know, worse and more difficult. So our volunteers really try to, if they see parents really want their kids back, they try and work with them to find them the resources and empower them so that when the kids do go back home, they're able to provide them a safe environment and provide them a little bit of, you know, love and kindness and give them parenting skills so that they are able to be parents so that their children won't repeat the cycle of abuse. And that's what really the mission is that our children receive that little bit of nurturing that maybe their parents never got, because we know it's a vicious cycle of abuse. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the kids that we are working with will not repeat that cycle and abuse their own kids.
Well, absolutely. So what can a CASA volunteer expect? Like what's the schedule like? And if they can't commit to being a court appointed special advocate, what else can a volunteer do to help?
There's other stuff that they can do. We always have events going on. So what we do at these booths and events is we hand out information about CASA, what it takes to be a CASA volunteer, information on our statistics, information on exactly what do CASA volunteers do. And that allows us to advocate for our organization. Mm-hmm. And even if some of the individuals that we talk to can't volunteer, at least we give them information so that they can educate themselves on our program and what we do and what our mission is. And then hopefully they'll be able to spread the word to other individuals and let them know about CASA. Mm-hmm. Because we know that word of mouth is the biggest advertisement. So if we can get even just a few of the listeners to call in and say, we want to know a little bit more about your organization, a little bit more about CASA, exactly what do volunteers do, then we can educate them, and then they can spread the word to other individuals.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this organization seems like amazing. I mean, yeah. What y'all do for these kids that have no voice, basically.
Yeah, they don't. They don't have any voice, and it's just so difficult to see these children because they're so smart. They're amazing kids when you get to work with them. And they appreciate every little thing that our CASA volunteers do, from reading them books, taking them to McDonald's, taking them to Barnes & Noble. And a lot of the times, like on their birthdays, they'll visit them and take them a toy. We have blankets that we also give to our CASA children that our volunteers take to them. It's called Project Linus, and they donate blankets to us. We have a toy drive also. So anytime anybody wants to, they can go purchase a toy and drop it off at our office, because we don't only use toys during the holidays or during Christmas. Mm-hmm. We need toys and stuff for our teenagers throughout the year, because our volunteers also spend birthdays with them. They also celebrate accomplishments with them. Mm-hmm. If they got good grades on their report card, then the volunteer comes by the office and picks up a toy and takes it to them. Or for our teenagers, maybe a gift card or a movie. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers are not reimbursed in any way. Mm-hmm. They don't get reimbursed mileage. They don't get reimbursed for their time or anything at all.
We're gonna have to wrap this up now, but Diana, so our listeners, I'm sure you know, have a heart for children and want to help in any way they can. So you said they would just need to contact you?
Yes, they can call us at 884-2272, or they could visit our website, CasaOfTheCoastalBend.com.
Okay, so they can visit CasaOfTheCoastalBend.com.
Yes.
Or you can call 884-2272. They're located at 2602 Prescott in Corpus Christi. And can they also email you?
Yeah, they can email me at Diana@CoastalBend.org. And our building is right off the freeway, right off of Crosstown. If you exit Baldwin, you can't miss it. It's a bright yellow building, and it's got a digital sign. Okay. And it says, you know, CASA of the Coastal Bend, court-appointed special advocates.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming,
Diana.
Thank
you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And to our listeners, be sure to give her a call, because they, like she said, they need 50% more volunteers. So I know we got a lot of listeners in our coverage area, so be sure to give her a call.